WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. A man from Winchester is being prosecuted in federal court after allegedly making a series of online posts threatening to kill or harm Vice President Harris. The NAACP is suing Shenandoah County School Board over its May decision to revert to Confederate names for two schools. And we launch a four-part series diving into that and the history behind it. And VMI is known for emphasizing strength and self-discipline, but this fall, the school will use canine therapy to ease the transition to college. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, August 6th. A man from Winchester is being prosecuted in federal court after he allegedly made a series of online posts threatening to kill or harm Vice President Kamala Harris. The Virginia Mercury reports the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Western District of Virginia announced the charges on Monday. 66-year-old Frank Carrillo was arrested last week at his home after authorities said they traced a series of posts on the conservative-leaning social media site Getter back to him. The violent posts threatened gun and other types of violence against Harris and her supporters. More than 400 farmers in Virginia will share in nationwide financial assistance from the federal government. The Virginia Mercury reports the money will go to farmers or would-be farmers who say they suffered discrimination when they applied for assistance from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The one-time payments total about $2 billion. USDA said 408 farmers in Virginia will receive a total of about $28.5 million of that. The payments are the result of the Discrimination Financial Assistance Program, created by the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. It was meant to aid farmers, ranchers, and forest landowners. The types of discrimination could have been based on race, sex, religion, or other factors. The Shenandoah County School Board voted in May to restore Confederate names to two schools. Now the board is being sued by the NAACP. Two of our reporters teamed up to dive deeper into this controversy. WMRA's Bridget Manley has the first of a four-part series.
17-year-old student Brianna Brown is a rising senior attending Massanutten Regional Governor's School in Shenandoah County. She runs cross country, participates in high school musicals, and is vice president of the National Honor Society. Heather Brown is Brianna's mother.
She's very creative, very into doing the right thing, sticking up for the things that she believes in.
Following a 5-1 vote in the early hours of May 10, the Shenandoah County School Board voted to revert two school names, Mountain View High School and Honey Run Elementary School, officially changing them back to Stonewall Jackson High School and Ashby Lee Elementary School, after the election of three new board members in January who ran for office to restore the former names. The name change made national headlines, and it's believed to be the first in the nation to revert back following the removal of hundreds of names and symbols in the wake of the death of George Floyd in 2020.
Brianna was, you know, very upset by it. She was hurt by it. She feels like it's a total step backwards when it seemed like we were moving forward. And then, you know, I think as country as a whole, I think she's also very frightened. She's very scared of what's happening and the division that's taken place.
So Brianna, along with four other students in Shenandoah County and the Virginia chapter of the NAACP, decided to sue the Shenandoah County School Board to reinstate the non-Confederate names. The lawsuit alleges that the school board violated the students' First Amendment, 14th Amendment, and statutory rights under Title IX of the Civil Rights Act and the Equal Education Opportunities Act. The lawsuit relies on a greater understanding of the dark history following the Supreme Court's decision in Brown v. Board of Education and the massive resistance programs embarked upon by the governing bodies of Virginia's educational systems.
These gentlemen have a long history of hate, of racialized discrimination that they chose to uphold during their time in this country and in their history. And their history is well known, right?
Marcia Plater is senior counsel and youth justice counsel at the Washington Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and Urban Affairs in Washington, D.C., and one of the plaintiff's lawyers.
The fact that this school board wishes to return or honor that these men in that way is really honoring a legacy of discrimination and hate and white supremacy. And we think that is illegal. It violates a number of laws.
Lawyers for the students contend that that particular history should be considered when looking at the decisions by the present-day board, saying, quote, the Confederate school names and mascots represent a particular ideological view that Black people are inferior and that endorses current-day white supremacist movements. The plaintiffs maintain that students unwilling to wear a uniform or apparel with the Stonewall Jackson General's insignia would be excluded from full participation in certain extracurricular activities. On July 17, lawyers for the school board filed a motion to dismiss the lawsuit, responding to each of the plaintiffs' allegations. In their response, lawyers for the school board say that the students make unsupported claims that the school board requires them to participate in school activities and do not allege that they have experienced punishment or sanctions for objecting to school names and mascots. According to the lawsuit, the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment prohibits states and state actors from discriminating based on race or national origin, and quote, imparts a duty on school boards to eliminate racial discrimination root and branch so as to make their services equally available to all. The plaintiffs argue that in the pattern of actions and statements surrounding the school board's vote to restore the names in 2024, the quote, motivating purpose for the school board's decision was to discriminate against Black students and their families. Lawyers for the school board fired back in their response, calling the allegations, quote, vague, speculative, and do not possibly support the theory that Black students were disproportionately impacted by the reinstatement of school names, or that, quote, there was a discriminatory intent or animus behind the reinstatement. Further, lawyers for the school board argue that the school board members ran on a campaign of reinstating the names and that the democratic process of the voters electing representatives to carry out their will was successful. When reached for comment, Shenandoah County School Board Chair Dennis Barlow deferred questions regarding the lawsuit to Gwen Wydell, the law firm hired to represent the school board. Gwen Wydell did not respond to multiple requests for comment. But what is the history behind how these schools were first named? WMRA's Randy B. Hagee picks up that part of the story in our next installment. For WMRA News, I'm Bridget Manley.
Part two of this series will air tomorrow, and you can find links to more information at WMRA.org or on the app. Well, as college students prepare to leave for school, mental health professionals are preparing to support those who find it hard to adjust to life away from home. The challenge may be especially great at schools such as the Virginia Military Institute, where campus culture supports strength and self-discipline. This year, VMI will have a new approach to helping cadets. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman reports.
This fall, about 1,600 students will study at the Virginia Military Institute. Some will find the adjustment to campus life difficult. Lieutenant Colonel John Casper is the chaplain at VMI.
Nobody ever comes to see the chaplain when everything is going great. Usually people come to see the chaplain when they've exhausted all other options and they need somebody to talk to.
But many students find it difficult to open up, which is why Casper has enlisted the help of Cavu, a golden Labrador retriever.
I'll have cadets that have come in that maybe have lost loved ones. He'll sit at their feet while they talk. And sometimes they'll shake their leg or they'll rub their fingers together and he'll kind of nudge them with his nose like, hey, are you okay? Do you realize you're doing this?
CAVU, a pilot's acronym for Ceiling and Visibility Unlimited, trained on an aircraft carrier and was assigned to VMI by a group called Mutts with a Mission. These military service dogs are taught to respond to more than 75 commands and can help individuals disabled in combat to lead independent lives. Without being told, CAVU interrupts my interview with Casper to pick up the pastor's cell phone and bring it to him.
Thank you. He's always looking to help.
CAVU wears a vest when he's on duty, but when that comes off at night and on weekends, he's a lively canine who loves chew toys and playing with Casper's kids. In Lexington, I'm Sandy Hausman.
The Virginia Department of Education employs 545 people, 25 more than allowed by state law. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports that the department has funding for those positions. A VDOE spokesperson said they will work with the General Assembly and the Planning and Budget Department to gain authorization for the extra jobs. Democratic Senate Majority Leader Scott Surville says he sees this as the Youngkin administration overstepping its bounds. When an April fire damaged an archaeology lab at Montpelier, the home of President James Madison, Orange County firefighters said historical items at the lab were not damaged. The Daily Progress reports that now the Montpelier Foundation says about 10% of its collection was impacted by the blaze. The lab will need to be fully rebuilt. Orange's volunteer fire department also initially reported in April that there were no injuries, but the day after the fire, its chief said three firefighters were injured. Researchers have discovered the virus that causes COVID-19 is present in several wild animal species in Virginia. That study has implications for how the virus may mutate and jump between species in the future. Virginia Public Radio's Roxy Todd reports.
Nearly 800 animals were tested. Results showed the virus SARS-CoV-2 has jumped from humans into six different animal species,
such as raccoons, rabbits, mice, a number of animals that we really have in our backyards.
Carla Finkelstein is a professor at the Fralin Biomedical Research Institute and Virginia Tech and worked on the study.
We did not find any instances of transmission from the animals to humans, and we want to stress that.
She says it's not clear how the virus is transmitted to animals. It could be through trash and food waste or wastewater. She says more research is needed to determine how the virus impacts animals. She adds that the history of previous pandemics shows just how versatile viruses can be.
The viruses usually hide in a different species for several years until eventually comes back. So we need to learn from those previous experiences.
Finkelstein says more surveillance can help us prevent spillovers of SARS-CoV-2 from animals to humans in the future and be proactive in preventing another wave of vaccine-resistant COVID-19. I'm Roxy Todd.
And finally today, vegetation in the Chesapeake Bay got a little healthier in 2023. Patrick Larson with VPM News reports.
Underwater grass does a lot for the bay. It provides shelter for the critters that live and reproduce there. It slows water, reducing sun-blocking sedimentation, and even stores carbon dioxide. It's also a good indicator.
The thing that I often hear people saying is it's the canary in the coal mine.
Chris Patrick works with the Virginia Institute for Marine Science. He says when bay grass populations collapse, it's a sign something has gone wrong. That happened in 2019. Historic rains sent sediment and pollution into the bay and its rivers, choking out nearly half of submerged vegetation. But a 2023 survey, led by Patrick and published in July, shows bay grasses gained ground for the third year running.
I think it's an indicator that the efforts of the bay program to improve water quality are starting to have some noticeable effects.
As climate change and growing human populations add more stress, advocates say investments in wastewater treatment systems, stormwater management, and more can help bolster bay grasses.
Patrick Larson reporting. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Tuesday.